Yo, yo, what's good, world? This is your man, Jeff, a.k.a. Blacksmith, jumping off once again on the jump off with a one-off type of show tonight. That's a lot of offs.
Yeah, man, off? Is it an even off? Because if it's two offs, that means it's on.
Yeah, yeah, it's two offs. So, yeah, two offs is equals even. You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
The other voice you're hearing on the line this evening is the Iron Man of the crew, DSI, the man, the myth, the legend, that dude named Dave. What's popping, that dude?
I'm doing good. You know me. I'm always part of the show. I'm always here, you know, make sure that the jump off keeps pushing along because, you know, JD was working like 80 hours this past week and he was too tired to come and talk to us and said, I'm going to bed at 7 o'clock because I drove 8 hours nonstop. And then the last show that JD should be posting, you know, that you might hear before this show, Jeff was like, oh, I got a headache, and I couldn't do on the show work with you guys, even though you ain't got a fucking migraines like me being diagnosed on medication, unlike, you know.
Whoa, Dave, you kind of going in on this brother, ain't you?
Yeah, I'm going on both of y'all. Yeah, both of y'all get, you know what, though?
Yeah, me too, with the headache thing.
Here's what I got to say. People, everybody knows I talk shit about Jeff and JD, but here's what I told him before we record tonight. If you don't miss a show, I won't talk shit about you. And if I ever miss a show, which I don't, but if I ever do, you can talk shit about me. Ha ha, that's how it works, baby.
Hilarious.
Yes, sir. But I'm good, though. I'm glad that you're feeling, I guess, better. You don't have a headache from last week.
Yeah, that would have been bad if I had a headache for a week. I would be in the hospital right now.
Actually, I've had that. That's why I'm on medication right now.
Yeah, I could imagine, man. That's crazy.
Yes, sir. But it's good to hear you. Good to get to have you back on the show, even though you were fired and somehow you got rehired again.
Yeah. This is the ultimate job because every time I get fired, I get asked back. So, the fans want me back. That's what it is.
I don't know if the fans want you back. I just think that maybe I'm just nice in certain areas, you know. But like you were saying, though, we're doing something different tonight.
Yeah, it's a one-off show. We're basically going to cover two things tonight, two immediate things. This is the reason why we had to have such an immediate show, because there's some things that are going on out there that deserve our undivided attention. Should I tell the fans which two topics we're going to discuss tonight?
Let me just put it this way in two words, and I guess you can explain it. Spoiler alert.
Right.
Spoilerism.
Yeah.
Yes. So, people, this is spoiler status. And when Jeff explains it, it is your choice to continue listening or to stop listening and come back a few days later. Either way, I think you should listen anyway because I'll let you explain, Black.
Yeah, the majority of the show tonight, we're going to talk about the best show quite possibly in the history of television, Breaking Bad, returned this past Sunday. And we're going to get the proceedings to talk about Breaking Bad and kind of break down, for lack of a better way of saying it, you know, our thoughts on how we got to this point in the show and our predictions for the future of the show.
That's right.
But before we do that, we want to talk about something even more immediate, which is the topic that's had Twitter just straight blowing up today in the hip-hop blogosphere. And actually, it's extended beyond just, you know, the hip-hop blogosphere.
While recording, Twitter is still blowing up right now.
Yeah. And this is there's a song that dropped. I believe it dropped yesterday or last night from Big Sean. And it was supposed to be on his new album, Hall of Fame. However, this is one track that did not make it. And it's Big Sean featuring Kendrick Lamar and Jay Electronica. And Kendrick Lamar's verse is the topic at hand.
Let's say this before we talk about that. If someone told me that a song didn't make it on Big Sean's album, and knowing Big Sean's catalog, and you tell me Kendrick and Jay Electronica, right away I'm saying, sign me up, baby.
Yeah.
Sign me up.
You know that's a hot track.
That's a hot track to get them three, because those three is not going to jump on not a hot track.
Right.
You know, I mean, like Jay Electronica, he's in seclusion. He's like Yoda. He's in hiding somewhere. You know, I was like, you don't know where the hell he's at. So for him to jump on a track, that's like, oh shit. And then you get Kendrick, who's one of the hottest MCs in the game, and then you got Big Sean. He's like, hey, that's what I'm talking about. Let me press play.
Yep, exactly. And in case you haven't heard this song at this point, if you have not heard it, then you're lame and you don't know what's going on out there. But Kendrick caught some bodies on this verse.
He went training day on everybody's asses.
He really did. He really did. And I've always, and I know Dave can definitely attest to this too, we've always, you know, hailed Kendrick in high regard as far as the new school of MCs out there. You know, he's definitely been, if not the very top, you know, the top two or top three out there. But he continues to drop things and drop verses and albums and features and all that that stand, have, make him stand apart. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yes.
And this verse was no different. Like, he went in. I mean,
he went in is an understatement, yeah. Blacksmith.
Yeah.
I mean, let's set it up first here from prior to this song. Because remember, before this song dropped, back early in the summer when he did Bitch Don't Kill My Vibe remix with Jay-Z.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he redid it. Normally when you do a remix, you know, you may just change one verse. You add another person on there, you know, the jump on it. First of all, to talk about Kendrick on that song, he changed the entire song.
Yeah.
Which normally you don't see in remixes too often. It's let's be honest in hip hop here. When someone does a remix, you may change a verse or you just throw a person as a feature. You don't just take the track and say, I'm just going to write a whole new song.
Yeah.
Right. So he wrote a whole new song. Now, Jay's verse is, you know, first Kendrick, then Jay. Nice track by Jay, you know, because his voice was perfect for that track, and it was mellow, and it was good. Well, I remember what everybody was saying was when Kendrick came on verse 3, Jay must not have heard that.
No, he came back with a vengeance on that one.
Yeah, he came and bodied Jay on that track. Yeah. And I don't think Jay would allow that verse that he recorded, which was a hot verse already, to go the way Kendrick went on verse 3.
Yep.
So we know Kendrick's history when he wants, he goes in. But when he it's like playing like organized sports. When he sees other great people, he steps his game up to the next level.
Yep.
Because Jay on the track, he's like, oh, this is Jay's track? I'm going to write something even more hotter than Jay. Mm-hmm. And then that killed my vibe. That third verse was probably the best verse of the summer.
Yep.
When he went, and then how he raised his octaves and went hard, you know. So that's where I want to set that up, Blacksmith.
Yeah, yeah.
He went hard on that one. People don't want to just, I don't want people to say, oh, Kendrick just came out of nowhere. He had a good album, a couple good. Nah, Section 80 was my shit, mm-hmm, before he dropped the last album. Good Kid, Poor City. Is that it right?
Bad City.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
So, Section 80. His other mixtapes were hot. Then he dropped that one. Then the remix here. So now, Blacksmith, if you want to continue, about the bodying.
Yeah. The crazy thing about this song, you know, is featuring Big Sean, Jay Electronica, and, you know, much respected Big Sean, and definitely much respected Jay Electronica, who's a, you know, one of the few pure lyricists we have left. But the crazy thing about it is that he didn't even have to, based upon the other people that were on this track, he didn't have to go in like that.
No!
You know, I can see if this was, you know, Jay-Z and, you know, Nas featuring Kendrick. Okay. You know what I'm saying? You got
right.
that. But this is Big Sean and Jay Electronica.
Right, right. It's one thing, like, if you had, like, say, so you had Jay and Nas and him on there, he's part of the big three, like LeBron, Chris Bosh, and Wade. You know, it's like, oh, snap, I got to come with it here. We got Hall of Fame. These cats going to be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame with Nas and Jay-Z. I need to step my game up, because we know those two will be in Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, you know, in the next 10 years.
Yep.
But Big Sean, let's be, before we get heavily into Kendrick's verse here, Big Sean's verse was cold.
Oh, yeah. Oh yeah, and like Big Sean, he's the type of MC. He's growing on me. I admit when he first came out, I was not really checking for him, not really feeling him like that, because I thought his flow was a little too playful at times.
Mm-hmm.
But he's grown. You know what I'm saying?
Over the
last couple of years, and he's getting better and better. And he's I know you have a good kind of a metaphor or a good analogy for the type of rapper that Big Sean is, right? That dude.
Yes, exactly. I was gonna bring up. Think we was offline before we recorded here. Big Sean is like the new Fabulous.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you're not too familiar with Fabulous work, not his albums, but his mixtapes,
right,
his verses, you know, his features, he is a beast.
Mm-hmm.
If you really sit down and listen to Fabulous music like that, not the, you know, hey, she's my baby, you
right.
know, no. He can literally get into a ring of any MC and will be able to hold his own.
Yeah,
and probably,
that is nice.
Yeah, and there's certain, probably on any given day, I don't, people may think it's blasphemous, but if you actually heard Fabulous Flow, he can beat Jay or Nas on any given day. That's how sick he is when he wants to beat.
Right.
He's like Carmelo Anthony.
Yep.
you know, if basketball terms, he can outscore the fuck out of you. Mm-hmm. And that's where Big Sean is now. If you listen to the stuff that's not on the radio, like the Little Kim stuff we talked about, right. You know, when you hear the stuff when he's like, okay, I don't got to worry about image. You know, this ain't about making money. I'm just going to go ahead and spit. Big Sean can spit, and he spit hardcore on this track.
Yep, he definitely did. And then, you know, Jay Electronica, it's funny, he's the afterthought on this track, but he drops that usual science like he normally does. And for me, his particular verse, it kind of didn't fit the song.
It didn't.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's a great verse, but I don't know on that particular song.
Right, exactly. But let's get to Kendrick now.
Yeah.
Because I did this tweet yesterday, right? Mm-hmm. When I was younger, it didn't matter. I was telling you, I could hear a song, but I wasn't in the mood for it. I was looking at this. I'm like, yo, I need to let it marinate. I went to work for the second time, you know, for my recovery, and I'm on the train, and I decide to text JD and Jeff. Mm-hmm. I'm like, hey, fellas, have you heard this song yet? And I'm waiting for the response, and I go on Twitter. Twitter's blowing up.
Yep.
I mean, every single major radio station, anybody that listens to hip-hop or has that type of demographic in their catalog, you could not get anything else but Kendrick's verse. I'm like, oh, my God, I got to listen to this, but I didn't want to hear it yet. I'm on the train. I need to get to my desk and hear this. And before I can get to my desk, you guys were like, oh, my God, you guys were just going off, too.
Yeah.
And I was like, I got to listen to it. So I got to my desk, right? Listened to it 4 times in a row. That's when I was texting you guys hardcore, Jeff. Mm-hmm. But I listened to it 4 times. I put it on repeat. First of all, people, he is not disrespect. People thought it was disrespect. I don't see it as disrespect the way he was coming at it.
You want me to quote the section that people are talking about?
Go ahead, please.
Yeah, I'll quote the section. So it's a very, very long verse. However, the section that is getting the most attention is, he says, I'm usually homeboys with the same niggas I'm rhyming with, but this is hip-hop, and them niggas should know what time it is. And that goes for Jermaine Cole, Big Crit, Wale, Pusha T, Meek Mills, A$AP Rocky, Drake, Big Sean, Jay Electron, Tyler, Mac Miller. I got love for you all, but I'm trying to murder you niggas. Trying to make sure your core fans never heard of you niggas. They don't want to hear not one more noun or verb from you niggas. What is competition? I'm trying to raise the bar high. So that's the snippet that's causing the most controversy, because he called out all of these newer rappers. And before this, he did a little play on one of Jay-Z's most famous lines: who's the best MCs, Biggie, Jay-Z, and Nas? He said, who's the best MC, Kendrick, Jigga, and Nas? And then Eminem and Andre 3000. But he said, the rest of y'all new niggas, just new niggas, don't get involved. So he's putting himself up there with the greats, with the best of all time.
Can I say this, though, before you go any further here? Mm-hmm. Just the writing of that is sick.
Yeah.
I mean, if you were just reading, if he was ghostwriting that, yep, and you pick up the paper and be like, okay, any other rapper can't spit this.
Right.
You know, I need to give this to somebody else. Then listen to Kendrick's flow,
yep,
the way he delivers it, his tone of voice, mm-hmm, you know, the way he, I like his staccato, and then he fluctuates. Mm-hmm. See, I still consider myself a musician, playing the piano and saxophone. I took music theory for 10 years. So when a person raps, it's the same thing as a singer or as an instrument. So you were hearing the things that he incorporated in his flow as an instrument, but then taking the metaphors, the similes, and the analogies. And the only thing missing from Kendrick, I say overall, is a controlling voice. Like, let's say if Jay Electronica and with his voice did this verse, it would be the complete body of all bodies.
Right.
If you feel me on that one.
Yeah, because his cadence, you know, and way he controls his flow, yeah.
Because his tone of his voice, the deepness and the depth of it.
Yep.
But he basically said, hey, look, motherfuckers, y'all need to step y'all motherfucking game up. I've been here for a little bit here. I'm doing my thing, and I'm coming for the crown, no disrespect. And if you don't like it, then come at me.
Yeah.
In so many words. I'm not starting no fights. It's not going to be not no gag clapping, because, you know, people back in the day, in the midnight, thinking, oh, we're going to have some gag clapping, East Coast, West Coast stuff, because he's a West Coast rapper. It's not about that. He's basically saying, step your game up, because I stepped my game up, and I want the crown.
Yep. Very true. And the fact that even after it happened, Big Sean tweeted, how crazy Kendrick Lamar went on the song, and obviously he was not offended by it, and he named Big Sean in that list of rappers. So obviously Big Sean understood that this is all about friendly competition. This is Big Sean's song. He's still going to release it because he knows it's quality. It's a quality verse. So it's not meant to be disrespectful. But as we all know, I hate when people do this. I hate when hip hop contradicts itself. In hip hop, every rapper must feel like they're the best in order to get the best out of themselves.
Right. 50 Cent is, and people who hate 50 Cent, he breaks down hip hop the best way possible, how he says competition. How, he talks about how of all the beefs he never started, but he always finishes on things of that nature because it's competition. You can't be in the rap game and like everybody. You can't be at the top if you're not striving to be the best. And every once in a while, you may ruffle a few feathers and you may say some things that some people may not like. Right. And lots time is not disrespect, it's the fact that if you want to be at the top and want to have the most record sales or digital downloads nowadays, not really record sales, but the people talking about you and the spins and your touring and you want to have that ego where you're elevated, people talk about you all the time, you got to be involved in this competition. And that's what hip-hop is about. Mm-hmm. And for Kendrick to do what he did, and for him, for everybody to stop talking about hip hop, no one's talking about, you don't hear no one talking about no Young Money. You don't hear Drake's new song. That new Drake song was a piece of shit. That song he just dropped, that Come On, whatever it is.
Oh, but, yeah.
Yeah. But no one's talking about no Wayne. No one's talking about no other rapper. That tells you something when you drop a verse and people question hip hop as a whole.
Yep.
At the end of the day, we got to think about it. People may not like it. People can like it like us. At the end of the day, when you drop a verse that profound in 2013, where you question the art as a whole, you done something.
Yep. And the one line that really, in my opinion, that was my favorite line out of the entire verse. Let me see if I can find it here. I'm on rapgenius.com. You ever been on that site, Dave?
Oh, it's been a long time.
Yeah, I love how they break down the lyrics and the meanings behind everything.
Yeah.
Let me see here.
Why are you looking for that? I got to say this. If I'm Mac Miller, I'm happy he mentioned – I'd be happy he mentioned my name.
Yeah.
Because Miller ain't cold. What he done is made a mockery and got rich by jacking beats, calling them mixtapes, but they're actually original albums, not paying for sample clearances, and then, of course, goes on tour and make a whole bunch of ton of money.
Yeah, he has a core audience, though.
Yeah, he can flow, but he ain't cold. Yeah. Let's put it that way. He's middle of the road. For the mere fact that Kendrick even mentioned Mac Miller, if I'm Mac Miller, I'm happier than a motherfucker. Yeah. He's like, yo, he buying everybody, but he mentioned my name. I'm doing something right, bitches.
Yeah, Mac Miller sent a funny tweet because Kendrick, like I said, he said, your fans don't want to hear no more noun or verbs from you niggas. And then Mac Miller tweeted out, well, hopefully they'll be able to hear my adjectives.
See, he know, and he, everybody, if you notice though, there's not one rapper, I know it's only a day, I doubt any true MC is going to come at him.
Joe Budden is saying, you go learn today. That's what he tweeted. And Joe's a formidable opponent. I would like to see that battle, but
But I think just the way that this is getting so much press, so much internet blogging. Of course, we're doing a partial part of our show on this as well. If you look at Kendrick's resume, I don't think no one's gonna come up to him and say shit. And here's what's funny, people. We know that Jay-Z is the GOAT right now. He's still putting out good music. Right. You know, Madness for Holy Grail is a good album. Yep. Here he is, 43 years old and still doing his thing, making good beats, still can flow with the best of them, things of that nature, right? But if no one clearly takes a shot at Kendrick, you can automatically, people may think I'm jumping the gun here, but you can automatically elevate him.
Oh, yeah, you can.
If you take a direct shot at every single MC and no one says nothing back, it's two things. The verse is cold, A, and B, you're scared of retaliation that may happen by your fans and the retaliation by Kendrick if you don't come with it.
Yep, or even worse, you will hear, the no-name rapper is trying to take shots at him and would never be heard.
Yeah.
but not the major ones.
So let's just put it out there now. With this, I mean, he's got a nice little catalog for a young career right now. Yeah. he will be elevated if no one comes back at him.
Yeah, yeah, real talk.
Automatic. That's like Jordan when he dropped 63 against Boston in the second year. He came off that injury, and people was like, "Oh my God, Michael Jordan's the truth. He's arrived, even though this is only his second year. That motherfucker's bad." That's like Kendrick. I'm using these analogies right now because when someone arrives and they've been displaying this up to this point here, you can't take that away unless he just does something stupid and just gets thrown in jail.
Yep.
You know, exactly. You know, and don't do more music.
Yep. And my favorite line from the song is, he said, "I'm important like the Pope. I'm a Muslim on poke. I'm Machiavelli's offspring. I'm the king of New York, king of the coast. One hand, I juggle them both." So this motherfucker said he the king of New York and the West Coast, and he's juggling both of them with one hand. Damn.
We will talk about this offline. Some people, you know, were saying that how is he the king, you know, or people are taking, you know, disrespect to this. Like, I don't know, I don't want to talk about this. You know, it's only one verse and stuff like that. Hip hop needed this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because people are talking about this now. Yeah. And you know what's going to happen now? Because Kendrick is not going away anytime soon. People are going to be forced to step their game up if he does another verse. Like, let's say he does come back with something even harder or make songs that are just so – he just spit on another level. He's gonna force rappers now to spit some shit. So be like, hey, that nigga wasn't talking about me. You heard that shit and everybody liked it.
Yep. You know? Real talk. Real talk.
I love the little sample hook. What was the one part he said?
Oh, yeah.
I don't smoke crack. I just sell it.
Yeah. So what is that from?
I don't know, but it was pretty funny.
Yeah, it was. I like what Talib Kweli tweeted out. He said, "Are y'all New York rappers ready to stop rapping like y'all from down south yet?" that's what they're doing, and he's like, you know what I'm saying? You ready to get back to the essence? Because that everybody, you know, from a lot of New York rappers are trying to adopt that down south sound because that's what's hot right now, but they're not, you know, doing spinning lyrics. So
exactly. And another thing to add, what Kendrick had, you know, was doing here is that he's building a talking point here. You know, none of this Versace. Don't get me wrong, right? If I'm in the car on a nice day and the window's down, it's catchy.
Yeah,
you know?
It has its place.
But lasting music. You know, like the Tyler Kweli is the world, the Most Def's the world when he was spitting regularly. You know, the Commons when he's spitting. Speaking of Common, he'll be in Chicago performing next month. We, you know, just let you know if you're a true Common head in Chicago at the House of Blues. You know, but in the late 90s, early 2000s, no one talked about this because we had real hip hop. Now, people may say you backpack rappers or, you know, there's a time place for every type of rap music, right? But no one could say in a certain genre of hip hop up until now recently that you could say people weren't spitting.
Right.
You had the mid, especially in the 90s. The 90s was like, you say
golden era, yep.
You know, even the early 2000s, you know, like I said, when you had the Kwalis in the world, you know, the spit kickers and stuff like that. Yeah. People were spitting. They may not have that commercial appeal, but you can go to any hip-hop website, you know, we talked about offline, and if a song wasn't on their album, you can go and find some that didn't make the album. Like, that's the shit that it wasn't just was going to make no money or they couldn't get a sample clearance.
Yep.
You know? But now, what do we hear? Cats talking about, what did you say? How many guns? what did you say, Jeff? You say. I thought that was good.
Yeah, because I was just talking about how the things are just really, really redundant in hip hop nowadays. And I was saying, how many ways can you use a gun to make a hot nigga go cold? How many bad bitches can you possibly have? And how many bricks can you move without getting caught?
You know, and if you're Chief Keef, how many times can you call yourself Sosa?
Yeah, real talk.
Real talk, you know. So for all the people out there hating on him, if you're hating on the Kendrick verse, show me something that other people has done that's saying, hey, he's not talking about them. Show me a rapper right now who's supposed to be hot or got an album out or within the last year or so. Take away Jay, you know, I mean, like, you know, there's a few people that there's a substance of rule, but the majority. who is putting out that heat? Not just dancing in the club music, but the essence of true hip hop we're talking about. Everything has a time and place for dancing and grooving and bobbing your head in the car, but hip hop came about of the five elements, and who is really still showcasing the true essence of this art form that all of us come to love, that's become a billion-dollar platform now when people thought it would even last.
Another thing that Kendrick can stand on, too, Kendrick is not just a one-dimensional, oh, he can go hard, he can go hard in the battle rapping realm. That motherfucker makes great commercial songs, too.
Yes, he
does. The Drake song, the Poetic Justice song with Drake is a great song for the ladies. He does all of that.
He's well-rounded. He will go, like we heard, he'll take the verse and call out Nas and Jay and everybody else. He'll go tell you about he got a problem fucking drinking.
Yeah.
Swimming pools.
Yep.
Put swimming pool full of alcohol and you dive in, people.
Yep. I don't know if you know this too, Dave. One thing that blew me away, I saw an interview with him, and they were asking him how he, you know, he obviously had to put so much into Good Kid, Mad City. Does he have anything left? You know, what does he have left for his upcoming album? He said, if you listen to Good Kid, Mad City, some of the references he has are kind of dated. And he said the reason why is that Good Kid, Mad City, he said, was just about the year he turned 19. That was just 1 year of his life, he said. They rapped about that. Well, I mean, he said he's 20. I think he's 25. He said he has. Yeah. He said that was just 1 year of his life. He talked about.
Yeah, that reminds me of, you know, I know it's a different genre, when Jay was on Angie Martinez about a few weeks back, and he's like, "Hey, you know, you got any songs with Beyonce? You got any songs involved?" He's like, "B got about 500 songs at home right now. They ain't been released. Yep. So you're not gonna release them? If she feels like it."
Yep. He said they'd be in the living room with their socks on, dancing to him.
Yeah, you know. So people who make music their life, you got to remember, though, out of this, how many songs were on Kendrick's album? Was it about like...
Yeah, about 18.
18 or so. The average artist normally records anywhere from 50 to 80 songs before they narrow down to what makes the album.
Yep.
Some of the songs that don't make it, not because they're not good, it's because the record company says we need to sell units, and we can sprinkle in some of the stuff that is about you, but we need to make some money.
Yep.
So to say that, what does Kendrick got left? If with him being the artist that he is, and that verse he dropped, and just the remix, he put a whole, like I said earlier, he put a whole nother song on "Bitch Don't Kill My Vibe." He just rewrote the whole damn song.
Yep.
So it's not like, well, what does he have left? He has tons of stuff. Look, like you said, that was from 19. It all depends on the mood, like the theme of the next album, where he wants to go to, that's going to go on. Because you just can't throw songs on an album. A great artist has a theme. You start off somewhere and you have a point and you're trying to push it somewhere, and then you want to have a conclusion.
Yep.
You know, see, mixtapes are just that, mixtape, a collection of songs. A good album is a story.
Yep. In a way, Kendrick Lamar, the plain and simple, the way he raps, he's setting himself up to have a nice long career. And by long career, I mean at least 3-4 albums.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That's considered long by today's standards.
In hip hop, that's longevity, if you get 3 or 4. Because how many times you heard a guy's album and he's like, "Yo, that was hot." And then they may have that sophomore jinx, you know, they may fall into the record label's trap, and then you don't hear from them more. You may hear a couple of features and then they're gone. In a couple of years, like, oh, you hear that song, like, throwback. A song that's 5 years ago now is considered a throwback on the radio now. Mm-hmm. It's like, damn, throwback? That's like 4 years ago.
Right.
You know, but, yeah, he's on track now where that people are going to be talking about him with even him not even having an album out now. And that's even better.
Yep.
His album came out last year. This is the type of verse that keeps people in his mouth until the next album comes out.
Yep.
You know, so I don't know what to say about this, man. The Phil Jackson line had me rolling too, Jeff. Do you have that in front of you?
Yeah. He basically said, let me pull that up here. I had had it in front of me.
I thought that was funny about the coaching with Phil Jackson, and you know that.
Yeah, he said Phil Jackson came back. I'm still uncoachable. I'm unsociable. And they actually tweeted Phil Jackson today, asking him what did he think about the line. And he was like, "Everybody needs a mentor and somebody to lean on." he's like, it's definitely a cocky statement, you know, a confident statement, but everybody needs a mentor. So Phil took the Zen way out like you normally would.
Yeah, but that tells you though about Phil. that he even commented on it, because any other rapper, Phil Jackson, like, you know, whatever. Yeah. He probably wouldn't have been giving no time of day. It was so hot, Phil even made a comment. Even though it was only a simple comment, you think Phil Jackson's really checking for hip-hop?
No.
And the fact that he even gave the time of day to even release a statement
right.
tells you how much, how many ripples. We're in the hip-hop community. We really don't know how far out this went, right. honestly. We see Phil Jackson comment as one thing, and I'm not overreacting, people. This was a hard verse that is reaching out to the masses.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
She is saying, New York niggas need to step their shit up, you know? It's funny how, like, some of the East Coast people are taking a lot of disdain for it.
Yep.
You know, but, and I remember Bomani Jones. I like watching him on ESPN. He's a very sociable and conscious brother when he's not on the TV. And he agreed with somebody how, you know, people talk about New York and stuff like that, and they need to come back. One person made a comment that New York started falling off when they felt they didn't need DJ Premier anymore, who was technically from Texas.
Yeah.
Who came to the East Coast, but he gets the flavor of an East Coast producer. But when people strayed away from the Pete Rocks and the DJ Premiers of the world, you can honestly say you can see where hip hop New York kind of fell off.
Yeah, and they ran south. They tried to, you know, try to emulate the whole hot, the bounce shit and stuff like that. The mainstream South. I'm not gonna say it. No disrespect to the Andre 3000s and Big Crits and stuff like that, but like the actual mainstream poppy sound of the South. That's what New Yorkers are striving for. Case in point, French Montana. You know, French Montana. You know, great radio songs that he has, and he has that down South sound. But the motherfucker's a New York rapper, so.
Let me beg to differ here, because he didn't start speaking English until 9 years ago. That motherfucker.
Well, I know he's from Morocco.
He's from that's a Moroccan nigga. I don't know. Can we really put him in that base or no?
Well, I don't know. Yeah.
I'm sorry, I had to do that. You know,
the dude
couldn't speak English 9 years ago. Now he's don't stop, get it,
don't stop.
What you talking with?
All right, let's go on to the next subject. We spent more time on it than I thought we would.
You know, we're going to do that, but to our Jump Off fans, if you listen to this, we want to get your thoughts. I know Michael Autry had his comments on the page.
Oh, yeah.
And disrespect, you know, and we'd like to hear from you. You know, we want to hear from Tito's of the world. Any hip-hop heads. We got a lot of new members we invited. So if you haven't heard the song when you hear this podcast there, please just go ahead and go to YouTube and just put down Kendrick Lamar, Big Sean, and Jay Electronica, and you will see it pop up. There's been many copies since it's been released.
No doubt.
I'd like to hear from you on that.
So on to Breaking Bad.
Oh my God, spoiler alert, people, spoiler alert. We're going to talk about the evolution of the show and, of course, the first episode. So if you're a Breaking Bad fan and if you've not listened to watched the first episode, not listen, but of course you got to listen to it, but if you're not watching the first episode, this is your choice. But we're going to talk about it because we can't hold our tongues any fucking more.
And I'm so excited the show is finally back on. It was about a year between, you know, that the first 8 episodes of season 5 and the, you know, getting to this second and final 8 episodes of the series.
Let me ask you this, Blacksmith.
Mm-hmm.
How did you get into the show? Like, for me, I did a binge watch.
Yeah, I did it too.
It came out in 2008, and it was on my Netflix queue forever. I never got a chance to watch it. And then JD was the one who had been watching it from inception, I believe.
Yep.
He kept talking about it. And finally, one Sunday night, it was a Thursday night, or I can't remember, Thursday night, I said, okay, I'm going to get into Breaking Bad. And people, I shit you not, I watched season 1, season 4, all in the season 4 on Netflix in a time span of 9 days. There were days I did not go to work because I was up at 3 o'clock in the morning, and I think that's part of the reason why I could be a little jacked up now more than ever. Because if you watch the show, watching Walter White change the way he did is not good at 3 o'clock in the morning before you fall asleep to last of memories in your head.
That doesn't lead to positive dreams.
It doesn't lead to positive dreams. So I did a binge watch.
Yeah.
And then once I got done with season 4, they were already 3 episodes into season 5 last year. So I went on demand and watched those 3 episodes, and that's how I caught up. You said you were the same way?
Yeah, I definitely binge watch. I didn't binge watch, you know, as much of an accelerated pace as you did. But I definitely did binge watch. And that, when you use the term binge watch, that kind of reminded me of two. I know you probably listened to the Bill Simmons podcast he had last week leading up to it. And yeah, that whole binge watching aspect, it was a double-edged sword because we got all the gratification of what's going to happen next, but we never had to really wait. So this is the first time we have to really wait from week to week to find out what's going to happen. But yeah. My experience, yeah, definitely was binge watching it. And then, you know, I kind of wish I did what Jay-Z did, where he kind of slowed down and then he was able to catch back up and line it up where he was.
It was too good, though.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? Very true. Very true.
It's too good. I said the only show I binge watched like this is when I first got into The Wire.
Yep.
You know, 6 years ago, because I didn't get into The Wire till season 4, which was 2007, because the show was on in 2002.
Right.
And I didn't do it, and that was the first time I ever done a binge watch. And for people who have, you know, if you have not watched Breaking Bad, I arguably can say that Breaking Bad and The Wire are two of the greatest shows ever.
Yep.
Now, you and JD are heavy on Lost, and just to let you know that now that Breaking Bad's coming to a conclusion, I'm going to start watching Lost.
You are?
Yes, I am. I'm going to get into it. I've heard so many great things about it. You guys have talked about it. I don't want to go on a tangent about Lost, but I'm just going to, since you have put this on that pedestal, I'm going to go ahead and add that, and then on a future show, I will come back and tell you how I feel if it belongs in that pantheon, because people talk about how Lost, even if the first episode was like a movie.
Yeah, it was.
You know, it really was. So Breaking Bad for me, how can I say this, Jeff? It's seeing human elements at its best and worst.
Yeah, it really is. Like I think the most compelling part of Breaking Bad is it's a story of an evolution of a person where you start off rooting for them, and then you have to, like, as the series progresses, you have to really make conscious decisions if you want to continue to root for this person or how you feel about this person, because usually on TV shows, you know, from the inception of the show and moving forward, you kind of typically have the same opinion of a person, or it may go from, you know, love to hate. But with Walter, it seems like when you're watching this show, as he evolves, you evolve as a watcher, and you constantly, you know, get you to kind of reassess how you truly feel about this character.
Yes. And also, I don't know if you agree with me this or not, this show showcases when people think they have enough, and it's never enough.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you've not watched the show, I don't care. Kill yourself now if you listen to this now. You've already gone past the point of no return. Walter White is a chemistry teacher, smart as fuck, can know anything about any chemistry, science, whatever it is. He's just a smart motherfucker,
right.
Plain and simple. Just got a bad shit in life, you know, bad deal in life. Ends up with lung cancer, even though he doesn't smoke.
Yep.
You know, and so he has a son with, I believe, cerebral palsy.
Mm-hmm.
And then his wife, Skylar, is pregnant around the same time. So, and he finds out on his 50th birthday. So right then and there, the premise is a good guy, smart guy, you know, who just got a bad fucking raw deal in life. And we know a lot of people like that, don't we, Jeff? You know, it's like a good person, but could just never get over the hump.
Yep.
You know, shit happens. You know, it's life. And you kind of feel bad for him. He runs into his brother-in-law, which is, his, you know, is a DEA agent, allows him to go on a run and to raid a house. That's a meth house. While he's sitting in the car, he sees one of his former chemistry students, you know, who sneaks out because he was fucking the next door neighbor and doesn't get caught up in the raid.
Right.
And so by him being the smart fucking brainiac, he finds out, he realized that he only needs $780,000 for chemotherapy and treatment so that he don't put his family into, you know, dire straits if he dies, because he don't want to put all these bills on him.
Mm-hmm.
So it starts off with Walter White hooking up with Jesse Pinkman to sell enough meth to cook it, a little under $1 million, so that he'd be good. The problem, people, is that he ends up making the purest form of meth out there, 99.1%. You can't find a pure product. And so that's when the transformation of Walter White right there changes. He knew the chemistry, Jeff. He knew how to cook it. But once he found out that no one could cook it better than him, the ego came into play.
Yep. And then, and thus the transformation began.
And I'm not going to go through, the whole thing of Breaking Bad, but we see him, they, you know, him and Jesse go through the trial and tribulation trying to sell it. They buy an RV, you know, they run into Tuco, you know, Gus Friedman and making, I mean, people, it got to a point, he was making what, about $7 million a year at one point when he was just cooking it. He stopped being a distributor and was hired by Gus Friedman as one of the characters. I forgot his name. Giancarlo, I forgot his full name, but he's Dean Big Brother Almighty from School Days.
Right.
That's all I remember him.
Right.
This, his empire was so freaking big that he was just cooking, making $7 million a year.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, he wanted to be the man because he can't help not being in control once he realized he had a product that people wanted. He tried to make this product seem like it was Pepsi, Coca-Cola. He wanted to build an empire, but he wanted people to know about him. But the same sense, you can't be known when you're doing illegal shit.
Exactly. Exactly. And thus that dichotomy and that, you know, those opposite feelings kind of crashing into each other, you know, makes for great TV. And shout out to Vince Gilligan, the writer.
Oh my God.
Because he was on X-Files. I never really got into X-Files. Did you, Dave?
I watch it every now and then, but it was on a night that I really didn't watch TV. Mm-hmm. So I was normally out the house. I was doing something. So every once in a while when I did come in the house, if it was on, I did watch it, put it that way. But I was never really at home. And of course, when that was on, you know, I wasn't popping I wasn't around. We didn't have DVRs then. And there was no one home for me to press record in the VCR.
Right, right, right. Yeah, I never got into it either. But it's definitely a critically acclaimed show. And, you know, he just took whatever he learned from that critically acclaimed show and, like you said, made one of the best shows of all time. He said one of the biggest things that he learned from the X-Files is that he wanted to make sure that, you know, he doesn't like TV shows that are too linear, that follow the same formula. And that's why on Breaking Bad, he does like the flash forwards and stuff like that.
Yes.
To make sure to make it a little bit more unconventional than what you normally see on regular TV shows. So, yeah.
Let's let people know, too, if you've been watching the show, where we're at now after Sunday's episode, it's only 1 year and 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the average show, when you span five seasons, you have this big growth, there's this time period. So much has happened in a short time span, even though the show started in 2008. And so that's what's great writing, too, because you're seeing the quick rise and then the quick fall. It's not like this build up and here he is doing his thing for years. No, in a sense, we know that something's going to happen. And we saw the flash. We'll get into that in a few seconds here. We saw the flash forward in this episode here. We know something bad is going to happen. Super bad is going to happen at the end of this series here. But just like anybody who's doing something illegal like drug dealing or something like that, you're going to get caught, and not just out of 10. You normally get caught sooner than later.
Yeah.
People don't be – that's one thing that people forget, though, Jeff. Like, if you're selling drugs, eventually you're going to get caught within the – all it takes is one snitch.
Yeah, real talk. You know?
And so here it is now from Walter at his 50th birthday until the end of the last episode of last season of the first half season 5 was exactly his 51st birthday. And then from this episode now, you know, he's trying to live a clean life, you know, trying to be out of the game. It's only 3 months removed now from that. So let's talk about this, Jeff, really fast. At the end of last season, I know Bill Simmons touched on it, but I got a problem with Hank. This Hank is Walter's brother-in-law. He made a good point here. I noticed that, but I didn't say it to anybody. How he when he finally figured out that he think that Walt is the biggest meth dealer there is, who makes the purest shit out there. He is at a family dinner and walks into the master bathroom and proceeds to take a shit.
Mm-hmm.
Who does that, Jeff? I mean, me and you are tight, but I'm not going into your master bathroom and taking a shit. If I'm taking a shit, it's in the guest bathroom, and I'm going to be trying to be as fast as possible. He got comfortable. He went and looked at the magazines and the books and was going to be in there for a while until he found out that book with the information from Gail that's from Walt.
Yeah. That is an interesting point.
So the characters in the show, I know I can have really I'm close with a lot of my family members, you know, but I'm still not gonna take a huge dump in their master bathroom. It's the minute details of this show that's kind of crazy.
Yeah, yeah, that's something I didn't even really think about, but that's a good point.
Remember that though? He walked in. It was the nicer bathroom. He sits down. He has a couple of thoughts to himself before he even grabs a book. So he was planning on doing a deuce like you do at home, and you're just gonna sit there and relax for a hot minute, like, you know. I know I say DSI, but people, we all do this. When we take a bathroom, you want to relax and you're gonna drop that hard one. He's doing that in a guest in someone else's house. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was interesting. So we pick up now on Sunday with the flash forward. Now he's on his 52nd birthday, which we know that now is only 2 years from the start of the show.
Exactly. Lots happened in 2 years.
A lot has happened. We saw last year's flash forward. He got guns. He's like ready to go to Iraq with the guns he got in his trunk of his car.
Yeah, or Chirac.
Chirac. And I don't know if you recognize this, Jeff. You know, of course, we saw the house. His house is condemned and boarded. So it's a couple of things here. Spoiler alert, and this is my predictions here. It's either that the cartel is coming after him because he refused to cook, because he made the purest form and got out. And we saw old girl, I forgot her name, that came to the car wash, and she was upset. She kept saying...
Is it Linda or Lydia?
Yeah, Lydia. She kept saying 68%.
Yep, it's dropped. The value, I mean, the quality, yeah.
Quality dropped from 99.1 to 68%, right? So we see his house now. Now, from the point of this episode to the flash forward, it's like a nine-month difference. Mm-hmm. We see his nickname, Heidenberg, spray-painted. But here's one thing that we do see. Besides him buying the guns and having a bag full of cash, he goes into the socket and gets the Ryzen that he put back there that was supposed to be for Gus in season 4, but they never got to Gus.
Yep. Yep.
So there's a couple of things here. So I'm thinking here, Jeff, that the cartel either went after him for not cooking anymore, or B, Hank is going to bust him.
And he wants to poison Hank.
Yes, but here's where I have a problem. Go ahead, I'm sorry. I'm talking too much. You go.
No, it's okay. I wouldn't say Hank is going to bust him, because what it looks like is that he's already been outed, because if this is his house and it's been condemned and it says Heisenberg on the walls and the neighbor dropped that bag like that, everybody knows that Walter White is Heisenberg at that point.
Yes, we know that.
So that's post-bust.
Yes.
DSI.
Post-bust, whether it's a DEA or a cartels, everybody knows him and where he lives at.
Yeah, yeah. And it's not even – and I would say it's not even the cartels. It's – the cartels possibly, but everybody – at this point, everybody knows that Walter White was Heisenberg. And I wonder how – so that obviously means he's going to get found out. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I don't know.
Here's what I think here. I don't think that Hank dimes him out, because can we just admit the dialogue in the confrontation at the end of the episode 1? I was waiting for that confrontation around episode 3, 4, or 5, not the first episode.
Yeah, the one
that was great.
Yeah, the one reason why that happened, I think that way happened, and I've been doing a lot of reading about the show, is that they said they had to condense 20 hours into the last 8 hours of the show. They had 20 hours worth of material, and they had to condense it into 8 hours. And so things are going to be moving at a very rapid pace.
Right. But still, though, you normally don't see the culprit, even though you got to condense that much, not in the first episode. Normally, it'll be a few – even though you got to condense it, normally it'll be at least a few episodes, yes. Not the season premiere. We know – everybody knows that all good shows come to end. So it's the series finale, the last season. Like, even in The Wire – you didn't have that.
Right. The thing about it, though, that leads me to think, like, damn, how good are the last 7 shows going to really be then? They're going to be fucking off the chains.
Exactly.
If that's considered like a light episode, you know what I'm saying? Like, where are we going to be seven weeks from now?
Here's what I think, though. I don't think – I mentioned the thing I said, but I don't think that Hank's going to bust them.
You don't think so?
Here's why. Hank is caught in a rock and a hard place. And yeah. I don't know if you remember this. Remember when Hank took over? He's now the head guy in the DEA at that location. Mm-hmm. And his boss that they let go, he was talking about Gus. And he was like, how did I not know that he was right under my nose? He's like, I had him over my house. I had barbecues. And you saw this close-up of Hank, but it wasn't like he was thinking about it. It was like this weird close-up, like it was foreshadowing, right? Mm-hmm. So now Hank is in a tough position the way Walter put this on him, but he talked to him in a way that he didn't incriminate himself. He's like, my cancer came back. I will never see a jail cell. You know, so are you going to turn me in and destroy the family? Right. Because here's what people may have forgot. Up until at the end of last season, Hank and his wife, which is Walter's wife's sister, they were watching his teenage son and their 5-month-old daughter for 3 months.
Right.
So you can imagine they don't have any kids. You know, the attachment family-wise, right?
Right.
So, and of course, Skyler is involved in all the money laundering that goes on here. He turns Walter, and Skyler gets turned in as well. And then the whole family gets broken up. Here's another point you got to remember, too. Walter Jr. is so impressionable. You remember when Walter lied about gambling and he was like, damn, Dad, you know, you were a badass. You made so much money, you could buy me a car. You know? So he's also impressionable of Hank. And it's like, Hank's a hero. He knew about this, about the biggest drug dealer, you know, Gus, in the whole Southwest.
Right.
So he puts his dad on a pedestal already, and he already on an extra pedestal because he was gambling, it was illegal. He's only 17. He's so impressionable. So if Hank busts Walter, can you imagine the damage what's going to happen to Walter Jr.? Because he loves both of them. So you got to look at that dichotomy.
Yeah, that's
he loves
very both true. Of them,
and he's going to resent the family. It's going to be fucked up. And then you got the baby involved. And then on top of that, too, by him being the head of that DEA office now, he could easily be linked in some way if the DEA wants to investigate him. Because how do you not know? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a great point. That's a great point. And that would make Hank look, you know.
Look, even though he may bust him, it makes him look even worse.
Yep.
Because the guy who sold the most purest form of meth and that you ever seen, and here he is, he's not only your brother-in-law, lives 10 minutes away, and he is this chemistry teacher who's smart as fucking you knew it. And in a sense, Hank is an idiot, but he's smart at the same time. Does that make sense? Have you ever noticed that?
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
So Hank's career is on the line as well. And his whole family is on the line. But Walter is the master manipulator, the way he manipulates Jesse. Because think about it. I will never see a jail cell. We don't know that. You're cancer. You know, we don't know about cancer. He's manipulating Hank the way he manipulates Jesse.
Yeah. Yep. Very true. That's definitely.
And I hate too that Jesse's on the downward spiral. Before we end the show here, where Jesse was a meth head, and you know he went through his issues this last year. Then he was good. He was doing great. Remember he had the girlfriend with the kid Brock.
Mm-hmm.
And then I don't know if you remember in season 5. Walter planted seeds that, in a sense, made him break up with that girl.
Oh, yeah.
And on the downward spiral, remember?
Tried to kill a little boy.
Yes. Did you remember when he was talking to him when they was cooking the meth in the house that's being fumigated? He said, how are things going? Jesse's like, hey, things are good. You know, and Jesse was happy. They're playing video games, you know, and Jesse finally found a peace and calm. He had money, you know, and he had a girlfriend that was cool. And then Walt kind of planted some seeds, not negative, but in a certain way of the massive manipulator that Walter is, and all of a sudden, the next episode, Jesse breaks up with that girl.
Yep.
And then after that, you know, all the demons start coming up with the course when the kid got killed when they did the methadone heist, but he's back on the downward spiral that he was in the beginning of the show to the point where he's throwing his money away. I mean, he's crying for help when he wanted to give money to Mike's granddaughter, knowing that it was going to be confiscated and it's going to come back to him.
Yeah, that's...
If you notice that, he's crying for help even though he's not saying it.
Yeah, that's one thing. That's one person, one character I really, really feel for. A couple things I want to bring up is that, you know, I'm wondering, is Jesse going to get to the point where he, you know, he kind of finds out about all this stuff and he's going to be the one to possibly off Walter after, you know, a lot of stuff is revealed? Because Walter, obviously, at this point, he don't give a fuck. Like, remember when he was talking to Jesse about What's the guy Walter killed, the old guy?
Mike.
Yeah, he's talking to him about Mike saying he didn't kill, because Jesse thinks that Walter killed Mike, which he did.
That's the manipulation again.
Yeah, yeah, he's like, you have to believe me, you have to believe me. And I think
that... Before you go there, we kill that thought. That's the manipulation part, because why did he have to say, you have to believe
exactly.
me?
Exactly.
He could have easily said, I didn't kill him.
Yep.
The fact that he constantly said that, in the back of my mind, I'm going to say... You did it then, motherfucker, because you keep saying that. Yep. You got to believe me.
Yep, and that's him. That's him having to be in total control.
Exactly.
He has to control other people's thoughts, too. You know what I'm saying? And but I think that was partially a threat, too, saying you have to believe me because if you don't, you know the truth, I'll kill you just like I killed him. That's what I think the subtext is there.
And, okay, so we're one episode in. Even though this was like a slow episode, mm-hmm. it was a methodical... like slow death,
mm-hmm.
where that it was exciting, even though it wasn't exciting. If that makes any sense.
Yeah. One thing that I read about, which is gets into like the deeper levels of the show, is two things. The first one is they said that if you notice the evolution of Walter White, aka Heisenberg, every time he kills somebody, he takes on some part of their persona or the person that he killed. Now I don't remember specific names, but they said once he killed some person earlier in the series, it was somebody who would always take the crust off of their bread. And after he killed that person,
that was in the first season when they first got it. Yeah.
Yeah. And after he killed that person, he started taking the crust off his own bread. After he killed someone who would always order their drinks on ice, and while Walt would always order his drinks neat, without ice. After he killed that person, he starts to get his drinks on ice.
Mm.
They also said, finally, if you remember the flash forward that was at the beginning of season 5 when he was in the diner, and he was, they said that he was rearranging the bacon on his plate to have it look a certain way, and that's something that his wife.
That's what Skylar does.
Yes, wife does. So if that follows the same. You know, and this is not my thoughts. This is somebody
else's mind.
If that follows the same thing, that means that he eventually kills Skylar.
I think that Vince Gilligan couldn't kill Skylar, though. I think that everybody would revolt. As much as I hate Skylar, she's needed for this show. And let me say this here. Because in season 4, she saw how much money he was making.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, they had their issues with her cheating. She wanted to be in the game because at the end of the day, every woman loves a dangerous man.
Yeah.
You know, even though at the end of the day they may marry the nice guy, right? There's parts of a woman, and every woman can test this, that like that danger, they like that edge. And she wanted to be in the game. She helped buy the car. She was laundering the money. She wanted to be in it. Mm-hmm. But when the shit hit the fan, she snapped and couldn't take it.
Yep.
I'm like, you can't have one foot in the door and one foot out the door. Once you end the game, you end the game. And that's one thing I hated. She liked it. And when she saw all this money, she was like, I'm down for this. But then when she saw the shit that was going down, she's like, I don't want to be part of this. No, girl. You can't do that. Once you win, baby.
It sounds like to me, or it looks like to me, that she's taking on some of Walter's persona with the fact that both her and Walter in this last episode handed out some pretty damning threats.
Well, I think that Skylar now knows how much money they have, and she does not want Walter to go back to that life, especially after seeing Gus in the news and at the end of season 4, where Walter blew up a senior citizen's home. Literally. I mean, if you think about it, even though it was a bomb, and then I forgot his name, right, who ended up doing it, he still communicated with him, and it was Walter's bomb. So Walter is crazy enough to set off a bomb in a senior citizen's home.
Which means he's capable of anything.
He is capable of anything if he's willing. And then what she doesn't know of him poisoning Jesse's ex-girlfriend's son.
Mm-hmm.
Walter is off in less than 1 year. Walter went from a chemistry school teacher to saying, fuck it, I'm going to do things my way now. Yep. I'm sick and tired of being the quiet meek guy. I sold my soul to marry the love of my life, and I fucked up because that company's worth billions. I fucked up my life. So you know what's going to happen now that I got cancer now? I'm going to do what the fuck I want to do. And I don't care if I kill children, old people, and sell drugs. I'm going to do what I want to do.
Yeah, it's him time.
It's me time, right. Him time, basically. Yep. Okay, before we close out here, let me ask you this here. Do you think Jesse dies at the end of the show here?
Oof. I'm going to say no.
You think Jesse lives?
Yeah, I think Jesse lives.
Do you think Walt dies?
Yes.
Because here's one thing.
Either by being killed or from cancer.
Because here's what we got to remember here, season five now. We just got the core actors now. Everybody's dead now, people. If you've been watching the show, just think about it. From season one, two, three, four, first half of five, all the major players, except for Linda, I forgot her name was, who helped him shipping meth to freaking the UK and overseas and shit, everybody's dead now. There's only Hank, Walter, Jesse, and Skyler.
Yep.
Everybody's gone. All the major players are gone now. Someone's got to die.
Yeah. Yeah, very true.
Somebody's got to go.
Yep.
And I'm wondering, with the Rising, does Walter kill himself with it?
Mm.
Does he take himself with it?
Interesting.
I'm just kind of curious. It's something to throw out there, people. I'm still not totally sure on this. But they made it a point where he kept moving that Rising from socket to socket and then eventually to that one socket. He moved that Rising a couple of times.
Yeah, he did.
And then in the flash forward, when everything is to the shits, and that's one thing I said about Vince Gilligan, he gave us so much, but it's so little that flash forward. Reason why we're doing this show, it was so much, but so fucking little.
It's a great tease, the ultimate
tease.
It's a tease.
Yeah, just like a girl not even letting you put the tip in.
Right.
That's not even tips wet. I'm just curious about this Rising. That's a huge factor. That Rising has been a factor for season four, half of the last part of season five, and now the second part of season five now.
Yep. What I think we should do is we should have another show midway through, you know, this. After three more episodes. We should do three more episodes. So after episode four.
Four. We're halfway through. That's what we should do. Come back at the midway point for like the progress report.
Yeah, the progress report. And then, you know, we can definitely cover the finale. Do you agree that would be a good way to tackle it?
I think so, too. And I'm telling people right now, if you have not watched Breaking Bad and you listen to the show and this has been a spoiler, basically, I'm telling you right now, if you have Netflix or even if you don't have Netflix, you can get the free trial for 1 week.
Yeah.
You know what? I guarantee you, if you watch the first episode and you're a fan of the show, you will finish the show in 1 week.
This is a question I have for you, Dave. Are you going to okay, first of all, when you go to Vegas, what days will you be in Vegas?
I'll be there Wednesday. Well, same time you're in Miami. Wednesday, September 11th, mm-hmm. What a day to fly. From Monday, September 16th. Unfortunately, it was a Sunday night Breaking Bad is on.
Right, because I'm going to be in Miami from the Tuesday the 10th to Monday the 11th. I will probably be watching Breaking Bad.
You're a day earlier. Okay.
Yeah, I will probably be watching Breaking Bad Sunday night in South Beach. I'm not going to go front. I'll probably be watching it for that hour.
Well, here's – I'm going to find out.
That's different than Vegas.
Yeah. I need to find out. I'm staying at the Venetian, people. Shout out to all the Jump Off fans who may be in Vegas that weekend. Holla at your boy. Mm-hmm. You know, Venetian, you know, that's where I'll be at. So – I'm going to go online to find out the channel guide of the TVs in the Venetian, if they have AMC. But I have an iPad, you know, so I will most definitely be checking AMC to see when it re-airs online and see if I can do that or not. I might be out kicking it. I might do some due diligence and be kicking it hardcore Sunday and then come back in. Right. Or if I can avoid all the internet blogs, because I come back home on Monday, and the first thing I do when I walk in the house is turn the TV on. I won't even take a shit. I'm just going to turn on Breaking Bad because the DVR is already set to record the series.
Right. Cool.
So, yeah, so we need to come back, and we need to talk about the progress report for the next three episodes.
Yep.
And see where we're at, see who's dead.
Yep.
And I have a funny feeling, too. Here's a prediction. I think Hank gets killed.
That's a fair prediction.
I think, know why? Because Hank knows.
Yeah, that's a fair prediction.
There's an issue with the 68% meth that's being sold since Walt's buying the game right now. Mm. And there's going to be a lot of interaction going on between Hank and Walter. On top of that, too, we already know that Hank is going to stop a mud hole in Jesse's ass. If you remember the history of Hank and Jesse.
He hates his ass, yeah.
And then if you remember, he put the GPS under Walt's car. And in that episode, Walter went to Jesse's house twice.
Yep.
He went to Jesse's house one time to drop off the $5 million he owed for his share of the company that, you know, for the methadone. And then he brought the $5 million back when he tried to give it away to a lawyer. So Walt went to his house twice, and there's a GPS on there. So prediction here, before we close here, I keep saying that, but Hank's going to get in Jesse's ass. And Hank's gonna die.
Yeah. That's a good prediction. I respect that one.
And Hank's gonna die because of Walt being out of the game. And it's something's gonna happen with that house situation, and Hank's gonna get fucked up in the middle of the process. especially the fact that he's a DEA agent who was his life has been targeted. Mm-hmm. His nine lives are up now after surviving the twins coming after his ass.
Oh my god, yeah. Hell of an episode there. All right, we'll go ahead and cut it off now because we could talk about this forever.
No, we got to stop now, people, because we could literally, if we really wanted to and not talk about the hip-hop with Kendrick Lamar, we can do this show for like 3 hours and you can just take pauses and then come back and hit play and let's talk about it.
The scary thing is we could do this for every episode, these last seven episodes.
Matter of fact, we could just cancel all of our format and then every week we just do a Breaking Bad recap. Instead of the quickie show, will be the Breaking Bad recap.
For the jump off a compromise what we have done over the last 3 years just for Breaking Bad.
It's worth it, though, people.
Hilarious.
So that's how good the show is, though. So we recommend, please watch the show. We want the interaction on the Facebook group page because I was talking about it and Jeff jumped in and then Michael Autry jumped in. We had a lot of people, JD jumped in. Mm. And I think Lily didn't jump in, but she liked the post. I know she was reading it as well.
Yep.
So please watch the show and then chime in. We want this interact. This is great stuff. It's like status for real.
Exactly. And even though we're not going to be, recording another episode about Breaking Bad till we hit the midway point, we're going to be talking about every single episode on the Facebook page, obviously. So
yes, we will.
Yeah. All right, jump off fans. Bro. Huh?
Good stuff here, man.
Oh yeah, most definitely, most definitely. We hope you've enjoyed our one-off show tonight, and we'll holla at y'all next week. Peace.
Jump off. Look, what you want, bump, double clip, pump, ride, swamp, jump off, homie, jump off. All these haters on my, won't jump off. But all the streets need is jump off, jump off.